This week on the Koshcast, Reds left red-faced by rash as United beat Liverpool, Spurs lose their cane but manage to walk past Bournemouth anyway, Arsenal, City and Chelsea get routine wins, and we find out what happened when West Ham decided to put Joe Hart back in goal. Elsewhere, there's news from Italy where Juve probably ended all the title conjecture, Spain where Andre Gomes opened up about his professional pressure, and if that's too serious, don't worry, it's not a lecture, Mumu of the Week is also here. And believe me, that'll get you. Let's dance. Hello, welcome to the Koshcast on underthekoshblog.com and at under_thekosh on Twitter. My name is Alex. Mohanad is here and he's sleepy.
Hello, everyone.
Bernie is here and he's less sleepy.
Yay!
You see? And Roche isn't here because he's studying for something.
Oh, he's asleep.
Oh, is he?
No, he's studying.
Okay. I was going to shout wake up and then I realised he would hear it tomorrow. Useless. How are we, apart from sleepy?
Yeah, I was fine until, I don't know, Bernie was like 15 minutes later than he said he would be, so I thought I'd take a quick nap. And those never work.
No.
I gotta keep doing them. So I wake up much worse than when I went to sleep.
Actually, I was 45 minutes later than what I said I would be, and then 50 minutes later than the revision.
Exactly. I was okay with the revision. It's just I wasn't ready for the next 15 minutes.
You know what is probably really good radio?
What?
Pod logistics.
Yeah.
Yeah, me coming from Ajax.
Yeah, which is, what, an hour and a bit away?
Yeah.
But it is March break, so there's less people on the street, which
is
nice.
That is nice.
Yeah, it's so much. Makes a huge difference when the kids aren't in school.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, stay in school, kids, but
just don't go to school. I don't know. Anyway. Premier League, I guess.
What is that? What?
Premier League, right. So we got some breaking news. It's not breaking for you at this point, but it was breaking for us.
It's breaking now.
Yeah. No. Pellegrino, Southampton manager, has been sacked.
Yep.
Which is about right, I think.
I think that's fair. I'm happy because now commentators won't confuse him with Pellegrini. that was a bit of a mess.
Do you mean commentators or you?
I commentate on games on my couch, so yes, myself.
San Pellegrini.
I don't think he should have been appointed, and I don't think Puel should have been sacked in the very first place. Southampton should not expect anything anywhere.
Ooh.
They're one of those teams like Everton to me that just should not expect to do anything. So whatever.
Here's the problem, and the reason that Pellegrino has been sacked is that Southampton's business model and the whole like existence of the club relies on selling players to Liverpool. Now, if you can't get a performance out of your players that attracts the interest of Liverpool, you've got to go.
Right, that is the number one KPI.
Yeah.
How many players have you sold to Liverpool this season?
There's another player that they're looking at Liverpool. I can't remember who it is.
Anybody,
whether it's Redmond or someone, I don't remember. They're looking at another
player that Roche hates.
Who?
Lamina?
That actually might be the one.
Yeah.
That kind of makes sense if Chan goes and you need an extra midfielder.
Mm. Right. Chan is amazing. Anyway, let's talk about Liverpool.
So Pellegrino should have sold him in January. That's what
we're
saying.
Exactly. Yes. He didn't sell enough. I mean, he made 75 million off a centre back.
That's good business.
That is good business.
But nothing to do with him, though.
But to Bernie's point, more seriously, Puel did finish, what, 8th last season?
Yeah.
So I think it was more the style of play.
Yeah.
I think it was the way they played. They didn't look as good as under Koeman.
Can we talk about this style of play thing? I find it absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, well, when you're a lower managed by Mourinho.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
Well, I hate him for that.
Okay.
But when you're a lower league team or lower tier team, this idea of style of play is what got Crystal Palace into the mess that they're in right now.
Right.
Because they had a bunch of players that don't fit Frank de Boer, who we'll get onto in a little bit, and then decided we want a style of play. Swansea have been in this mire that they're in every season because of style of play. How about you just get results first when you're that level of team and worry about that later? It just makes no sense to me.
I would argue that Swansea have stopped winning games since they lost their style of play. They came into the league, they played possession-based 4-3-3, they were really good under Laudrup, Rodgers, etc., Martinez before that, and that was with a style of play. It's since they lost it that they've stopped winning points. And Southampton, they can feel hard done by Puel's style of play because they had one before.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, they were winning points with a style of play.
The problem is, we talked about this when it comes down to the Premier League, and we talked about how damaging this relegation. I mean, we talk about MLS not having relegation and, you know, how much we hate it, etc. But then also with the whole relegation in the Premier League and the big money difference between the Premier League and the Championship, it forces people to let go of the style of play idea and actually just get results. But then they go through the cycle where, you know, Southampton could be or look at Everton. They've always been a team that kind of plays a bit of football. They're fun to watch. And then the minute you start to get closer to that relegation zone... Sam Allardyce, Tony Pulis, managers change, and all of a sudden you play long ball, you try and stay in the league, and then it's just a harsh cycle, and you can't control it.
I agree. It's a cycle you can't control. If you look at Swansea, they've been in a relegation dogfight for the last 8 years in a row because of what... They've had a style of play and still been there anyway. So it makes no difference if you're that team. Focus on moving up the table. Don't focus on this. Like, it's just an obsession. When you're eighth, don't sack anybody. That's how I feel. If Southampton, you're eighth, don't sack someone.
Look at Stoke, though. Stoke had Hughes. They didn't play that good football, but they were always 8th, 9th, 10th. They were always high up the
table. Stoke sacked Pulis in order to bring Hughes to play better football, and look where they've gone.
Well, they were 9th for like 3 years.
Bottom line is,
until they weren't.
Bottom line is, you want what you don't have.
Yeah.
You play long ball, you want the fancy stuff. You play fancy stuff and you're going to get relegated, you want the results. Like,
that's true.
Nothing ever demonstrated that more. Not the style of play thing, but the wanting what you can't have, than England with their managers, when it was like, right, we want Ericsson, we want like a fancy foreigner.
Yeah.
Ah, forget it. We want McLaren. We need an Englishman back. And then,
Capello. Yeah. Okay.
Speaking of those two contrasting styles of play, we had United versus Liverpool this weekend.
Well done.
Yeah. Thank you. So the game started off. Everybody was really worried about the first game against each other this season, the 0-0. Everybody's really looking forward to that game. It was probably one of the worst, if not the worst game of the season.
It was horrendous.
It was absolutely horrendous.
You think it was worse than the two last year?
No, this season.
Oh, this season. Sorry.
One of the worst games this season in the Premier League. Mourinho was accused of parking the bus a lot, etc. Yes, Liverpool had a great attack, and yada, yada, yada. This game came around, and the first half was much, much better. United looked much better. Lukaku was into it. Rashford, obviously fantastic with 2 billion goals. And obviously Liverpool had possession. This is at Old Trafford. They still had more possession. Emery Chan was being amazing, etc. But United were just efficient, and they were fun to watch.
Yeah.
I got to give them that for that first half.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll leave this to Bernie in a second, but I just thought that first half, United were far more competent. They had far more buzz and energy about them, and far more, even though they weren't attacking, they didn't go into the game with an attacking philosophy, but they were far more, there was a lot more intent from them.
I agree with that. It reminds me in a strange way, and I'll differentiate later, but a strange way of the way that United played against Chelsea second half and Arsenal first half,
right,
where they had a game plan. And you knew, for example, the first time Rashford ran at Alexander-Arnold, I knew that was what they were going to do. I knew this was a plan. And I felt like something was going to happen from that. And 60% of United's attacks came from that side.
Right.
So you knew that the plan was to sit deep, not sit too deep, but actually press up high in the first half and then release the ball when you got it. And the beautiful thing is they looked competent in doing that, which is why it's not parking the bus. They look like Catenaccio, which is a different thing.
Thinking that that's the plan, like you said, do you think does it surprise you that it was Rashford and not Martial, or did it make sense that it was Rashford?
Martial was injured.
Oh, okay.
So he didn't have any... Martial would have played if not for Rashford.
I just like... That's the thing. I like Rashford a bit more because he has the end product. Like, he's a striker, first and foremost. He's only playing on the wings because Lukaku's there, and he's flair, and he's young, and he's fast. But I think Rashford just has that eye for goal a bit more, like, just end product-wise.
Sorry, I'm just watching Bernie's retort building up in his head right here.
He loves Martial. I get it.
No, it's not about loving Martial. It's that... The reason why, literally flip what you said and it's the opposite. Because the reason why Martial plays and not Rashford is because Martial has more end product than Rashford. He has more goals, he has more assists, and he makes better decisions. There's a little bit of Theo Walcott in Rashford. He's only 20, so thank goodness he has a lot of time to get out of his
system. So is Theo Walcott, isn't he?
He makes poor decisions so many times. And when you're Jose Mourinho, poor decision making doesn't get you games. So what we hope for is that this actually continues and they can fit.
So Rashford's going to stay there for 12 years, grow a really nice beard soon.
Something like that.
I hope not, but the way it was going. Yeah.
Here's my question. Lukaku bullied Van Dijk and Dejan Lovren in the first half.
Lovren mainly bullied them.
But, and I don't want to be reductive about this, but if you spend $75 million on a centre-back, a really tall one, should he be getting bullied in the air by Lukaku, who is obviously very good in the air and is a huge bloke, but like, he really dominated.
People ask that question, but I look at it and I'm just like, I don't care how much money you cost.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going up against this specimen. You're just not. Think of the best centre backs Who's going to stand up to when Lukaku's in that mood mm-hmm. to bring that ball down and to do those little flicks? Mm-hmm. Name me a guy that you think, yes, I'm going to put my money to win every header against Lukaku.
Well, I thought that Virgil van Dijk should have been the one on Lukaku instead of Dejan Lovren. Lovren, he's actually not a small human being.
He's huge.
But he was made to look like a ragdoll by Lukaku. It was amazing. But Virgil van Dijk, I thought, would be able to stand up to him. Which, to me, is a sign that Virgil van Dijk doesn't have the brains for the game. Because people said, oh, that might have been the manager thing. But if I can't imagine a Rio or a Vidic or a John Terry looking at a situation happen and go, I'm not going to take charge of that.
Right.
Virgil van Dijk has to take charge of that and tell Lovren, get out of there, I'm going to take care
exactly.
of it.
Exactly.
On the other side of the field, I think Eric Bailly coming into the lineup made a huge difference for United.
Brilliant.
He looked everywhere, full of energy, had that little moment of that roulette around Salah, who we'll talk about, and he mm-hmm. didn't have the best of his games. But Bailly just came in, and I mean, the own goal aside, that's just a fluke.
That was a freak accident.
He was great, fantastic. Finish. He's brilliant.
The beautiful thing about Eric Bailly is, like we said, he's one of the best defenders in the league. But the beautiful thing is he takes control of the situation, kind of like we're talking about with Van Dijk doing. And it means that Smalling can do something else. Because if you ask Chris Smalling to be the leader of the defense, I'm sorry, it looks like an absolute mess. And that's the difference between when we said parking the bus like United against Sevilla and looking susceptible. But with Bailly, it looks like you're just defending.
Do you think that's a bit embarrassing for Smalling? Only in that Smalling's what, 28?
Something like that, yeah.
And Bailly's 22. Like, do you think it's embarrassing?
I think it is embarrassing. Yeah. And it shows that Smalling has not developed in I don't know how many years. Since the 2 years ago when he was Mike Smalling, he hasn't gotten any better than that. And that's the best he will ever get.
Yeah.
He should bring Van Gaal in as like a personal coach.
just in terms Mike of a motivator. Smalling.
That'll be great.
Smalling. The first half ended 2-0 to United. Very comfortable.
Should have been three.
And then second half came along, and I think Mourinho slightly reverted the style, whether it was him or the players or whatever it was. But again, that kind of deep-lying line a little bit. Didn't see a lot of the ball in the second half. Liverpool looked much better. Fair to them, they really did step up a little bit.
Yeah.
Still, Ashley Young, all game, did such a good job on Salah, mm-hmm. who you know was arguably the best player in the league this season. Really kept him quiet. Salah just had no fun whatsoever. Mane was doing this weird number 10 creative role, and it was so frustrating.
Mane, that was the worst I've ever seen Mane play.
Yeah.
He was absolutely mm-hmm. awful on the ball. Like, we're talking about decision-making. Mm-hmm. His decision-making was absolutely horrendous. Mm-hmm. I don't know what he was doing, and he should have been taken off. Like, there are some games you just watch a play, and you're like, yep, he's not with it. Just get him out.
No, Liverpool were better, but... And United scared me in that second half because, like you said, they got panicky. And I think the first half, they knew what they were doing. Second half, they didn't. But that said, Liverpool still didn't do anything. And that's the difference in this game where if it was another team, I would have thought De Gea, you know, had to pull off a magic save. They still didn't do anything with all the possession. They put a bunch of crosses in, a bunch of corners in, but still didn't really affect anything in the game.
How about those Sanchez, though?
I can't tell you how bad he was because he wasn't there.
Yeah.
He really was not there at all.
Literally, the only time I remember Sanchez is him celebrating one of Rashford's goals where he jumps on top of everybody. Can't remember a single highlight.
That's quite a jump for a little
while. That is quite
United a jump. Won with 10 men.
Yeah.
It's literally one with 10 men. That's how anonymous the guy was.
But on the style of United in the second half, Mourinho did say afterwards that it wasn't their intention to be that defensive. On the other hand, he also said you can control a game without the ball. So
yeah,
who knows what to believe.
He can pull out any of his past quotes where he says, you know, the team with the ball is the team most likely to make a mistake. Like, he has all these things. To be fair to him, look, he managed... That's his role. His role is to manage a game. It's not just to put out 11 players and do whatever. So he got his two counter-attacking goals. Exactly what he wanted to mm-hmm. do, like you said. He probably targeted Alexander-Arnold on that right. Mm-hmm. Got his two goals, went to the halftime and said, all right, guys, that's it. We've won the game 2-0. Thank you very much. And he got it done.
The thing I'll add to this is that it annoyed me the second half. The first half didn't bother me, really. The second half annoyed me. But the simple fact of the matter is people will look at this and say, okay, well, City conceded, four? Or something against Liverpool.
Oh, yeah.
City conceded like 4, should have been 4-1.
Yeah.
The last two were just whatever. And they'll look at this and say, over the course of 5 games, I think it is, Liverpool have scored 1 goal in open play against Manchester United.
Mm.
Now, you can look at that and say, on one end, that's really, really good because that's the best attack in the league and look what you did.
You're right.
On the other end, you want more. I get that. But we still do have to give him a little bit of credit for being able to stifle that attack. For sure.
Also without Pogba, keep that in mind. I mean, yes, he's not in best form, but still, the most expensive player in the league isn't at your disposal. McTominay had a good game.
Yeah. He had a very good game.
Both of him and Chan really were kind of going back and forth and who would control the tempo, and they had a really nice little internal battle there in the center of the field. I enjoyed it.
People notice this, I'm sure, but one of the moments that summed up Mourinho brilliantly, and possibly McTominay, was when McTominay had the ball, probably like approaching the final third, looked up, there wasn't really much on, so he just passed it backwards, and Mourinho, hands above his head, applauding.
Yeah. The other thing that really bothered me is that I just couldn't stomach the scenes of Mourinho making notes. It's because I know he's making them for the cameras. Like, I get he's making notes, but it's up on the ledge. It's for everyone to see. I'm flipping as many pages as I can.
Here's the thing.
He's like, how much are you writing that you're flipping to the next page?
No, but that's exactly what bothered me about it, was that the notebook was miniature.
Yeah, so
small. You have to like write three words per page. Like, get him a bigger notebook.
I don't know. I'm not that down on that, because like, what would he achieve by showing that to the camera? I just know that Mourinho... What was actually for the camera was after the game, when him and Paul Pogba had that handshake thing. Mm. That was obviously staged.
Yeah, yeah.
They're saying, all right, we're patching this up, we're all good.
Paul Pogba roughed him up a little bit way too much.
Yeah, I think the plan went a little bit wrong. And Pogba was like, let me get one in on you, man.
It was like a Trump handshake. It was like Mourinho's being pulled all over the place.
No, it was pretty bad. Alex, let us know something about Mourinho. You got a few quotes.
Oh yeah, Bernie, you mentioned Frank de Boer earlier. So I guess he was on Sky Sports and he said something along the lines of, it's a shame that Rashford is managed by Mourinho because he'd play more under a different manager.
Mm-hmm.
So Mourinho responded, I heard the worst manager in the history of the Premier League, Frank de Boer, 7 games, 7 defeats, no goals, saying that it was bad for Rashford to be managed by me because he would never play.
Frank de Boer.
Ooh.
I'm giving Mourinho every pass on this one.
There's just nothing for de Boer to say.
No, right? De Boer was a complete idiot for getting involved in that. He is the worst manager in the history of the Premier League. That's a fact. And also, his statements on Rashford are completely false. Absolutely false.
Okay.
You don't think he'd play more under a different manager?
No, because he's played more than he ever has. That's a statistical fact.
That's not the point.
No, but last season he played more games than...
In a worse season, he'd play more.
This season, he's played more than last season and scored more goals than last season. He's played Martial on that wing. McTominay's gotten games. Like, I hate this man. Don't get me wrong.
I know.
But the youth development thing is a complete fallacy. For Manchester United, forget Chelsea, forget Real Madrid, that stuff. In this season, Lingard is not young anymore, but he's improved over every season he's ever had. So his ability to improve young players has actually been shown that he can do it. Everything else is false.
Well, I'm not really interested in the wider debate. I'm just saying, would Rashford have played more under a different manager?
At United?
And I think the answer is yes.
At United?
Either way.
Right.
I don't know.
Because
he has played more than he did under Van
Gaal. And to be fair, we forget how young these players are sometimes. I mean, Rashford, like, you know, when he said he's 20, it took me a second to go, yeah, he's 20. Like, to me, it's like, why isn't he playing? He needs to play more. I was like, he's 20.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're right. Stoke City. Oh. Okay, let me start playing. Yeah. Stoke versus Man City. That just ended. 2-0 to City, Manchester City.
Yeah,
okay. City is City. Everyone gets it.
Everyone knows City is Man City.
2-0 to City, very routine. Aguero was...
You didn't even know the game was happening.
I didn't know
which it was happening. Which just means you knew it was going to be a win for Man City.
And then the only thing that I cared about this game, honestly, is because I have this personal beef thing, is I want to see if Aguero would play. Because I know Jesus is back from injury. I still truly believe, no matter how good Aguero is, Pep wants Jesus in his team. He just wants him in his team so bad. And Aguero's doing everything he can to...
He's putting up crazy numbers.
Yes, but the minute Jesus is back from injury, boom, back into the team.
Can I ruin it for you?
No.
Okay, let me ruin it for you.
Okay.
Aguero wasn't even on the bench, which means he wasn't available for some reason.
Or he was completely
there's
arrested.
No other striker on the bench. Like, no, he was... There has to be something.
Listen, my agenda is clear. Jesus plays when Jesus is available. Anyways.
To be fair, he's been available for a very long time.
He did well. He created a really nice through pass for Sterling, who then really... Like, I mean, I did not... It's not what I would think of Sterling. That perfect pass to Silva.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, Sterling... Especially last season and in Liverpool's office, like, erratic, the ball into the ground, and it's bouncy. Oh, bad chance, you know, we'll get the next one. But he played it beautifully to Silva, who finished it really well. Butland would be a bit disappointed with himself.
When I first saw that goal before the back of the net camera angle, I thought, what a hit, David. So, like, it's just one time, the way he signed for it, it's beautiful. But that's Butland, right? Like, get him and Pickford mixed up all the time. It's Butland.
It's Butland.
He had to save it.
And I think he probably has to save it.
Like, he has to save it.
Yeah. No, there was a... I forget who it was, but, you know, Liverpool fans have been quite keen on Butland as the solution to their goalkeeping problem. And someone tweeted, like, he's conceded, like, 49 goals this season.
They just keep doing this.
Yeah.
They just keep... Like, go for All Black and call it a day. Like, honestly, please.
Everybody's going to go for All Black, man.
Yeah, he's anyone great. With money.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, City 2-0 win. David Silva with a brace.
Second one, yeah, with a Jesus assist on the second one.
The second one, it was a Jesus, yeah.
Yeah. You know, they just kind of strolled right through Champions League. What's City's status right now? They just beat
Basel. They lost their leg, but no one cares.
Yeah, so they're through. You know, life is good. Life is good on the blue side of Manchester. I mean, they can't have any complaints.
It's really just a question of now what date they win the league, and will it be at Old Trafford? Because it's a possibility.
I just want to watch that. Mm-hmm, what's it called?
What?
Well, that's if they win it before.
Yes.
The Guard of Honor.
Yes, so I want him to win it. Oh, which do I prefer? Win it at Old Trafford?
Or win it before...
You know what? I want Mourinho standing in the Guard of Honor.
Let me just tell you what's going to happen. If they were to win it the day before or whatever, because it's only that game before.
Yeah, United are busy that day.
Reserve team. Jose Mourinho would rather die. Then put out his main team and have them line up for Pep Guardiola? No chance.
This reminds me of every time Barcelona are in the Cup in the way final. And like the Bernabeu is shut down for some reason.
Oh, yeah.
I bet you Old Trafford is unavailable that day.
Mourinho will get himself sent off in the game before.
Oh yeah.
So that he's in the
stands. He'll be in the hotel. Yeah. This is not happening.
Yeah. So yeah, that's it for City, really. Not much to say.
We did forget something.
What?
That I don't see here.
What?
Just kind of... because it's Manchester United, Liverpool.
Jamie Carragher. I wanted to talk about that.
This is a good
we should probably talk about that.
Yeah,
you know.
Can you
how
do
much
this whole segment?
Are
like
you
that?
Collecting in there?
I can try.
Yeah, but they need to have to spit it all.
Might get different.
So, want to give us the rundown?
So the game ended. He was a pundit, etc. He was on.
He
the...
was. You've already ended his career.
Yes, it's over. No, he was a pundit in that game for that game, and then he was driving home. And apparently, according to him, this other car was following him down the motorway next to him the whole way.
Mm-hmm.
Like four or five times, he would roll down his window, yell things at him, because, you know, Liverpool, United, whatever. Mm-hmm. And that other car had a father and a daughter in the backseat.
Mm-hmm.
Absolute moo-moo. And then Carragher, up to this point, it's all on that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Disgraceful, etc. You shouldn't be filming and trying to drive with your
daughter. Let me
paint
the picture a little bit for you, in that the English drive on the other side.
Yeah.
So remember that the guy's daughter was sitting on the literally the adjacent side of Jamie Carragher.
Exactly. So then Jamie Carragher for some reason he just really couldn't take it anymore and he rolled down his window and up. I mean, spitting is an understatement.
Have you seen the picture? The screenshot of his mouth is like a bullet is about to project that spit into the car.
It's a fountain of spit. And my problem with spitting. Is that the thought shouldn't... It shouldn't be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know
it
what
should
I mean?
Be an option.
It shouldn't be an option. You could swear at him. You could put out your middle finger. You could do whatever. I don't even care if you ram the car into the other car. But spitting should just never be an option. So he disgraced himself there. And he obviously apologized ever since and said, I shouldn't have done it, etc. But again, he's only human. It's only a big deal because he's famous. This probably happens on a daily basis a million times a day in England.
I've seen people who've gotten spit on. Like, I've seen it happen, like the interaction right in front of my face.
Right.
And it is vile and it is disgusting. I would rather you punch me in the face because you can't respond to being spit on.
Right.
I can punch you back or something. After you get spit, you evaluate your whole life at that point. For some reason, that's what it is. And people go, oh, is it worse than an ankle breaker, like, you know, Masuaku or whatever?
Right.
I don't care about that discussion.
Right.
It's your 40-year-old man. You have children of your own.
Yeah.
You should know better than to... wind down and spit. And the worst part about this is it hit the girl.
Yeah, but that wasn't intentional.
No, it's not. I know that. I'm not blaming him for that. I'm just saying that just makes it all the worse.
It makes it seem worse.
Ideal scenario is Carragher just rolls up his window, can barely hear the guy, put on some loud music, and just deal with life. Like, unfortunately, it comes with the position, it comes with the fame, it comes with the blah, 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 blah. And it comes with him goading United fans on Twitter. It comes with the territory.
But I'm not a fan of the people who are like, oh, he should be sacked.
No.
Like, what are you talking
about?
No,
that's harsh. I think that's really
harsh. What do you mean he should be sacked?
Yeah. If a mistake like that kind of, it doesn't cost him his life, obviously, but it's a big part of who he is. And it just ends all of that. Like, you know, no, I think that's harsh. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I still want to return to Mohamed's point that ramming into the other car is more acceptable than spitting.
I honestly think that is a more...
that could cause death.
I'm saying as options on a list,
yeah,
spitting isn't on there.
Sure.
What Mohamed means is bump the car a little bit.
A little bit. Just bump the car. Just a little nudge where the girl's sitting. Boop. Hey, how do you like that now? Congratulations on your 2-1 win. Boop.
Oh.
Anyways. So we'll see how that goes. He's suspended.
And Mario Kart.
Yeah. Throw a banana peel in the road.
Mario Kart.
On the turtle shell.
Yeah. He's suspended for 2 weeks. So we'll see how that goes. And yeah.
That's also a bit weird. Like, I know you have to do something, but what's he supposed to, like, sit there and reflect for, like...
The thing is, he's already on vacation. It's a fake suspension anyway. So
yeah. Whatever.
People will get over it, but, like, it's just... I don't know. For me, it's all about the kids.
For
like,
me,
you don't want your kids seeing
for me,
that.
As long as that other person isn't playing the victim, like, then I'm annoyed.
They did talk it over. He apologized.
To the family, he said.
And they came up with a statement and saying we accept the apology, so it should be done and dusted.
When he talks to the family, like, that guy's wife or whatever should hit him across the head a million times, just as much as to hit Carragher across the head for spitting her daughter. It should be equally hitting her husband across the head.
100%. Did he come out and say, I'm sorry for harassing a guy with a cell phone down a motorway?
I don't know. I didn't care because he's not Jamie Carragher.
Exactly. All right. Bournemouth Spurs. This was a weird one. Game started... Harry Kane on the field, Bournemouth hit the post, and then score, like, within 10 minutes, blah, blah, blah. And then, I don't know what happened. Kane got injured, obviously, because the World Cup's coming up, an English player has to get injured.
Yeah.
And then...
It has to be a metatarsal, though, so...
Yeah, has to be. I mean, couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
The Queen has to hold a prayer for him.
Yeah. What's it called? When you
Vigil?
Candles?
Vigil?
Yeah. Vigil Van Dijk. And then Spurs score 4 without Kane on the field.
They actually got... It was weird. They actually got a lot better. And I don't know... It's not because Kane left the pitch, obviously.
Right.
But it was maybe they were just working their way into the game. But they actually got better pretty much the minute he left and Lamella came on.
Right.
They started creating
Lamella,
a bunch of chances.
It's Son. Son has been unbelievable for a few months now.
I mean, Lamella was involved in the build-up, actually, for the first
Son,
goal. But yeah,
Son's confidence is through the roof.
Yeah.
Through the I think it was the third goal.
Where he didn't pass it.
Yeah. Where he you notice he looked over it 3 good times, looked over at Lamella and went, nah. And then rounded the goalkeeper.
I was offended for Lamella. I literally was like, oh, no, you didn't. I was like, how dare you? He's right there. It's an open goal. But yeah, he played fantastic. And this thing about, like, just, again, refereeing, it changes games. At 2-1, Bournemouth scored a goal.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Dean decided to be star of the show again. Didn't give it for, like, the smallest of touches.
Yeah, it was dodgy, that.
It was dodgy. And to be fair, the game started and I saw Mike Dean. I'm like, why is Mike Dean reffing another Spurs game? He has this history of kind
mm-hmm.
of those clips people have on his Spurs games, kind of showing fist pumps and celebrating goals and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy, but... I just thought something would happen, and it did.
What intrigued me more about this game was the fact that it should have been a draw. 4-1 is completely flattering to Tottenham as a result, because, like we said, the first 10 minutes, but then also the first 10 minutes of the second half, Bournemouth could have scored 3. Lloris had to make a crazy save from Francis.
Yeah.
And then I believe they hit the top of the bar.
They hit the bar on the breakaway where they should have scored.
And then if you, like you said, if you look at the potential equalizing goal, they had so many chances in this game. And I just feel Tottenham Hotspur actually are not that great when it comes to defending when Davinson Sanchez is one of the defenders. He is so bad.
Alex loves him.
I have no love for Sanchez
he
whatsoever.
He isn't. That's just wrong.
No,
he's not so bad at all.
He's made way too many mistakes this season for me to say that he's a good defender.
Okay, here's the thing with Davinson Sanchez. He's 22. This is his first season in the Premier League. He had one season at Ajax. And after coming over from Colombia as like a 17-year-old, like,
and he wasn't supposed to start for Spurs. It's supposed to be Alderweireld and Vertonghen.
But, what we're seeing to be suggesting is that, oh, give him a chance his first season. That's fine. I can say next season he can be great, but right now he's not.
I mean, to be fair, they defended really well against Juve.
No, I mean, the thing is, like, he's a player that is really quick, and so they defend really high, and he often utilizes pace to get out of situations. Mm-hmm. So like, there's plenty of room for him to improve. I'm not saying he's a great defender now, sure, but he hasn't been bad.
Also, let's not forget that Dele Alli, when he scored his goal, he scored it and also dove in the same motion. If you remember, he tapped at it and fell over. He just can't help himself.
On Dele Alli, yeah. I know players do this all the time. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to pick on Dele Alli at all. But the cupping his hand to the fans thing, like after the goal, I just thought, you are like this. Like, you're an asshole. Mm. Like, players do it all the time. But I saw him do it, and I just thought, you want to be an asshole. Like, why do you want to be an asshole?
I mean, they booed him for 60 minutes.
Why?
I get it. But
because he's an asshole. It's a cycle.
Yeah, no, it's a cycle. Yeah,
I'm just like, how old is he? 20? Or like, what?
More,
like,
21.
I just look at Rashford and think, that's a nice kid. Why are you a dick? Like, yeah. Why are you a dick?
Yeah, some people just have
he's
that.
English.
In them.
He's English. There's hype. Like, that is what it is. Anyways, Begovic is awful.
Begovic was horrendous. I mean, the fourth goal, Aurier. I mean, no one deserved a goal less on the pitch than Serge Aurier.
First assist was great to Alli, though.
Oh yes, that was a good ball. But he also got pulled up for another foul throw, which is amazing. He's the only player in the league that gets caught doing it.
Well
Valencia.
Valencia's.
But that cross comes in and Begovic just like palms
why
it.
Why was
into
he a striker
Aurier's
in this game? Like, why was Aurier so high up the pitch?
Yeah,
Aurier
was really high up
the
pitch.
Something
the
to do, time. Probably.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, it was an important win for Spurs because Chelsea won.
Right.
As well, we'll get into that.
I watched, and we'll get to it now.
Yeah.
I watched it during brunch.
Very nice.
Well, that's the thing about Canada now. Like, you go to brunch at a random restaurant, they have the Premier League on. It's brilliant.
What did you have?
Oh, I had chicken and waffles.
Brilliant combination.
Where?
Friends.
Okay.
So good.
Savory and the sweet together.
Oh, and the chicken was so like moist. Hate that word, but it was so moist.
Awful word.
Is
good
that why
chicken.
We hate David Moyes? Because
David like moist. Yeah. Yeah. Well, Zaha knows all about that. So Chelsea beat Crystal Palace 2-1, and what's his name? Willian, continuing his brilliant form, scored the first goal. Hazard keeps passing the ball. And it annoys me.
Is this a good thing?
No.
Oh, sorry. Before you said, it's not a good thing. Okay,
it's
right.
Not because
no. Mohamed needs Hazard to take on three and score.
He
right?
Did.
I thought you needed not to be so. I'm confused right
he
now.
He did take on three. Now have the cojones to finish the play so you can be on the highlight
like
reel.
Like he did against Arsenal last season.
Yes.
Just
exactly.
Just to refresh your memory.
Not give it to Giroud.
Why? Well, Giroud was good in this game.
Why would you ever do that?
Well, you guys did it, and it's a lot of goals.
Would Neymar have passed it in that situation?
That's a problem, isn't it?
Sorry, man. You gotta grab the game. You gotta be that man. Anyways, point is, they played great. Van Aanholt, another goal again from left back.
That's what he does.
That's what he do.
But Palace have literally not won a single point without Wilfried Zaha. He came back for this one, but like, that's mental.
Yeah, well, I mean, they also didn't score for the first 8 games of the season.
That's true.
So this is an improvement, yeah. I guess. This is great.
On this Giroud thing,
yes.
Sorry. Morata was on the bench this game, thank goodness.
Morata in the last 11 games has 0 goals, 6 yellow cards, 2 red cards.
Yeah,
something ridiculous.
I mean, that argument's done.
Right.
But on Giroud, well, quick preview of the Barcelona game, because to me that's the interesting one,
yeah.
Even though I mean, fine, whatever.
it's the really interesting, but you know, whatever.
Yeah, like... Please, please, please tell me that you guys think that playing Giroud is better than playing Hazard against Barcelona.
I don't know.
I don't think I can live with this thought of Conte doing this again.
Well, are they...
It worked first time.
Is Chelsea going to counter? Or is Chelsea going to play long ball?
Okay. It worked last time, sure. But when you're at the Camp Nou where you know you will receive less ball than you received... At Stamford Bridge against that Barcelona team.
What was the first leg goal again?
It was 1-1.
Yeah,
Messi scored.
Still
so
tricky.
It was 1-1. I just feel like if there's one thing Jose Mourinho has taught you is when a team has the ball, you bypass them.
Yeah.
Go with your big man and bypass them.
I think.
So why not use Giroud from the start?
I think Chelsea's game plan should be keep it 0-0 for as long as possible. And then it starts to get shaky. Just 17th minute, 0-0.
That means you have to keep the ball away from Barcelona. And there's only one way to do that.
I just think 0-0 at 70th minute, you're doing your job.
No, like, that's for sure. Although, you know, they need to score a goal. But I think it's a massive shame that Morata is out of form. Because if you think about it, Bernie, I think you're right. I think they'd be better off with a striker there. But if Morata is on form or has any kind of confidence, then you have a striker who can not only
also
hold
run,
up the ball and play
yeah.
on the break, but can also go in behind and you can knock it past. Because Barcelona's centre-backs are not the quickest.
You know who else
ball.
Can do that? Batshuayi. Batshuayi could also
yep,
do that.
He could have done that too. Yeah.
I'll ask you a question. When has Morata been in form in his career?
Come on.
No, it's a fair
Come
question.
On. It's not a fair question.
Alex loved all these players that I just did really bad for.
I actually like him, but like, realistically.
Well, his career spans like seven games.
His career hasn't allowed him to.
He doesn't really have a career. He has short-term contracts.
So like, I'm just like, that's why I'm asking the question.
On
like,
on the days that he scored the goals that he scored.
He was good then.
Remember the mostly Champions League semi-finals. That tends to be where he comes alive.
I just see it as Giroud must be more in form. Has had better periods of form than Morata has had in his career.
Sure.
So you go with Giroud.
Sure, but yeah, but it's kind of reductive. No, like Morata can actually run.
I love seeing Alex struggle.
Yeah.
I'm not struggling. Morata can run. Giroud can't move.
Speaking of questions, let's pit you guys both against each other in our quiz.
Yes.
Welcome to the Shinzi Okizakwiz.
What was that?
Okizakwiz.
All right.
I don't think I did too bad. Okay, here we go. You guys ready? Alex, remind people you're buzzing. And Bernie.
That was easy.
All right, let's see. Three questions. Question number one. And let me finish the question. Ozil just became...
Let you finish.
Ozil just became the fastest player to reach 50 Premier League assists, doing it in just 141 games. Name as many of the top five as you can.
That was easy.
Bernie.
Eric Cantona.
Correct. Alex.
David Silva.
Correct. He was fifth.
Thierry Henry.
Nope. Ooh.
Dennis Bergkamp.
Yep, one more.
Rooney.
Nope.
Cesc Fabregas.
Yes. Oh, yeah. So that's Cantona in 143, Bergkamp in 146, Cesc in 165, and Silva in 166.
Nice.
Question number two. How many points are Bayern Munich ahead of second place Schalke in the Bundesliga right now?
400.
round up to the closest 100.
19.
Close?
23.
Far?
16.
18.
Far?
Far? You said 19 was close.
Yes, you went the wrong way.
Oh, 20.
Yes. There are 20 points. They're sitting at 66 with Schalke at 46 and Dortmund at 45. Man, they're going to win the league next week. That is, I think, a record.
Oh, okay.
To be fair, City are, what, 16 points clear or something?
Yeah. Last question. How many trophies does Zidane have with Madrid so far? Alex.
12?
No.
So this is player and manager?
No. Ooh. Manager.
7.
More. Less than 12.
9.
More.
10.
Yes. Well done, you guys know your numbers. So he's got 3 Champions League trophies. Insane. 1 La Liga, 1 Spanish Cup, 1 Spanish Super Cup, 2 FIFA Club World Cup, and 2 UEFA Super Cups.
Sacking. So you're including the assistant manager in the Champions League one?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So, sack him. I mean, yeah, he's clearly not good enough. And
clueless.
He still plays Benzema, so.
This is the Troy Deeney commiseration segment,
where
we talk about how we feel, or how much sympathy we feel for Troy Deeney.
And his big ass.
And his huge
yes.
ass after a 3-0 loss to Manchester United, Arsenal.
Yes, and I mean, he had a big part to play in that.
He always will.
Yeah, true. Missed the penalty to make it 2-1 and really kind of prove that Arsenal might struggle under the pressure.
You guys hold grudges.
Oh, for
sure. Well, not only... I mean, it's only been a year, not even... but also, not only did he miss a penalty, he gave Cech his first penalty save
in forever
as an Arsenal player.
That means you're a disgrace.
Yeah.
Not you, but Troy Deeney.
No, I understand. Sorry. and and Cech's 200th clean sheet, which it took him ages to get.
But it's still a great record as an individual, regardless of Arsenal or not. Like, 200 clean sheets in the Premier League, that's a brilliant
record. Definitely one of the best ever in the league.
Oh, for sure. And he's been waiting for like 11 games right now to get it.
I mean, the joke that he got 199 of them at Chelsea is still funny.
Yeah, it's still funny.
Yeah. True.
But yeah, Arsenal came off that really good midweek game in the Europa League versus AC Milan after obviously a very rough patch, losing to Brighton, and that was a really low.
Four games lost in a row.
A team Hunter didn't even know existed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. Had no idea about Brighton at all. I didn't even know they were in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And then... went to AC Milan, put in a brilliant performance, winning 2-0, and just solid all round. Followed it up with this game against Watford. Arsene Wenger resting a few people, showing clearly that really the the aim here and the goal right now, because there's nothing else to play for, is the Europa League. Koscielny rested, Ramsey rested, Bellerin injured but also rested. Like, he wasn't going to put him in even if he was ready. And Arsenal played, again, very well. And I think a big part of that has to go to the two centre midfielders this game. Xhaka and Elneny had brilliant games.
You're about to give Granit Xhaka some actual credit?
For the last two games, yeah, I have to. Against Milan and against Watford, he's been brilliant. The stats show it, but the stats always kind of back him up with a pass completion and the tackles and this and that. But it's relative to your rest of Arsenal teammates who have all been having horrendous seasons. But these last two games, he was brilliant. And Elneny was, I think, man of the match for large portions of that game.
Elneny actually made passes in this game I wasn't aware he was capable of making.
Mm-hmm. I've been a little bit confused by Arsenal recently, in that there was a brief spell where Elneny was playing really well. Yeah. I don't know if it was him filling in at centre back or whatever.
Filling in for Ramsey.
Yeah, but he was playing pretty decently, and I thought, if anyone in Arsenal is actually a defensive midfielder, I'm pretty sure it's Elneny. So Xhaka getting game. I know you're saying Xhaka played well, but Xhaka's not a holding midfielder. Elneny is, so you can play Xhaka Elneny or Elneny with anyone else. Right. I'm just surprised that he doesn't get more games. And you guys who watch him more, maybe you know more the deficiencies to his game or what they might be.
The problem is that all our defensive midfielders are actually box to box. Like, Elneny can do a box to box role, and he filled that in for Ramsey this week. He's got an engine. You got to make use of that. You don't just put him there and let him stand in front of a back four. He's got an engine. He runs up and down the field. And as Alex said, the biggest thing that, Bernie, to your question, his deficiency, what Arsenal fans didn't like, is that sideway pass. All he does is keeps us ticking. Nothing too ambitious. Nothing that gets the game going. Nothing that really helps us on the offensive side of the
game.
But
is he not probably the best at screening a back four of who you have?
Possibly.
But that's part of the problem, is that the bar is actually so low when you discuss the Arsenal central midfield, and the people you're comparing him to. Elneny can have a competent game, like a normal competent 6-7 out of 10 central midfield game, and it can seem like he's the solution because so many people can't do that at Arsenal.
Yeah, but again, you can't take anything away from him this game. He made those forward passes to Ozil between the lines. He was really, really, I think, our best player this game.
Mkhitaryan had a good game. Ozil had a good game.
Mkhitaryan's stats since he joined us have been great. I think 5 assists and 2 goals. He was, again, Mkhitaryan's one of the stars against Milan. He's playing well.
It's like you said, you have to understand what those stats mean, because like the first game he got 3.
Right.
So yeah, there's been a terrible spell in between that.
Really. I mean, it's he's joining the team as a new player. The team's already playing a very negative style of football, not looking good at all. He's not going to come in and all of a sudden transform this team, but he needs to kind of grow slowly with them. And his partnership with Aubameyang was really nice to see this game. They assisted and off each other's whatever assists.
Yeah.
And it was good. I mean, you can't always complain. This one, really, 2 games in a row now, nothing to really complain about.
No, and I think Mkhitaryan has shown that when you give him space, he can be very, very effective.
Mm.
But he doesn't always get it.
I'm a very big fan. Yeah.
And I like the fact that he seems to have an eye for goal. He's not like Ozil. Mm. Like, people expected out of both of them to be tippy-tappy. But Ozil has that class, has that ability to, control the ball and just play those passes. Mkhitaryan wants to run. He wants to go forward. He wants to attack players a bit more. So he's a bit more of a runner than Ozil, which is a good balance, because Ozil just does not shoot.
On that, I thought Ozil had to score today.
Oh,
in that game. I thought that one-on-one where he gave the keeper the eyes.
Great,
he gave him the eyes, and I thought, this is a goal. This is absolutely a goal. And who's the goalie again? Who's that?
Who are they playing?
Brighton.
Watford.
Sorry. I
forgot they existed. That was the one that you lost.
No.
Is it Gomez?
Gomez has been dropped for a few games.
I don't know who
he is. We don't know who he is.
But he made a good, I don't know if it was a good save or a poor finish. I'm not sure.
It was, to be fair, he spread himself wide enough to go right with his hands and left with his legs.
Yeah.
So he did a good job. But the best part about that was Ozil's first touch to take it past the defender. Mm-hmm. It was brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was.
Ozil has been just solidly above average, 7-8 for a lot of games. Just again,
not
Arsenal.
Recently.
No. Against Milan, he was one of our best players.
Yeah, but
against
the 3 games before that.
Again, the problem is it's hard because everybody's playing so bad.
The reason I bring that up, not to hate on Ozil, is just because it's very interesting that when Arsenal have a good game, it's as if the rest didn't happen. Because the last 4 games, or even before that, not to pick on Ozil, nobody was good.
Oh, yeah. Arsenal is already keeping his job.
Nobody at all
now.
Was good. So this idea that he's been good in recent games is not really true.
The problem is he Ozil is a player that he's only as good as those are playing around him. That's the issue. He's never gonna just carry you out of when the four players in front of him are playing badly. He's just not gonna do it.
I think no one at Arsenal is that type of player.
Well, Sanchez and maybe was the only one.
Well, yeah. Now I'm seeing exactly what that means.
Yeah.
Just for your guys' information, the Watford goalkeeper Orestes Karnizis.
Yeah.
Karnizis.
I'm sorry. That's a quiz title right there.
Yes. Yeah. Orestes, Carnese,
Orestes, yeah, both of them.
Just quiz, and goal for Watford.
McQuiz face.
But Watford in this game, a little bit similarly to Bournemouth, except with less effect. I thought they could have scored a few. Richarlison, Cech had a good game in this game overall. Richarlison had, I think, the header, there was a free kick, there was another shot. That guy can't buy a goal right now, and it's not even his fault in this game. Just Cech decided to show up. It could have been dicey for Arsenal.
He's still pining for Marco Silva.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
But yeah, overall, I mean, nothing to complain about. Next, in the midweek, again, the Milan second leg, that's really the important one. Arsenal they're not going to make fourth place. Arsene Wenger is really the only thing he has to play for right now is the Europa League. So I don't know how it changes things in terms of his position, the club next season, etc. So that's really the big one.
The good news for Arsenal ahead of the Milan game is that Mustafi limped off in this one, so they might actually be able to defend.
Rob Holding played really well this game, fair to him, and you know I'd like to see him next to Koscielny instead of Chambers. I prefer him. So
sorry, I'm just dying after the whole Mustafi thing, considering he did score. Although I think he's better as a striker as he is as a defender. I've noticed he's got a good header, so just long ball to Mustafi should be your next tactic. Now you've lost Giroud.
I just want to. I'm an Avril Lavigne fan. And you know, Mahana's just recommended that we keep holding on.
Right, I hope we sell him now, so we know. West Ham, God.
The game is not important.
Yeah, the game is not important, but just to put it into context, they lost at home in their new shiny stadium, 3-0 to Burnley. To Burnley!
Who don't score goals.
Away from home. Burnley do not score away from home. Joe Hart started, I don't know why. I hope Adrian was injured because it makes no sense to start him on purpose.
I'm pretty sure he was picked.
Unless you want to get sacked. That's when you start.
Yeah, pull a Conte.
Like, it's unbelievable.
The biggest thing about this game, though, was the fan protests. Two fans came on the field. Mark Noble was Greek wrestling one of them. almost took his pants off. The other dude came on, grabbed the corner flag, and was doing this Viking chant halfway down the field. And then it got really dicey when like huge thousands of fans turned around and started chanting at Goldman or whatever his name is.
Goldman Sachs. Goldman Sachs.
Goldman Sullivan.
Goldman Sullivan. One apparently even hit one of them on the glasses with a coin.
Yeah, they had to leave.
I thought the director's box would have like glass.
It's West Ham. Shambles. Yeah, absolute shambles.
It's London though, man. You can never be safe.
It's true.
They had to leave early, like the owners had to leave just so it doesn't get dicey at the end of the game. And it was some kids actually came down and sat on the Burnley benches because of how rowdy was getting in the stands. Like it was quite bad.
I West Ham are a poorly run football club. I think fans are in their right to protest, but there's a way that you go about this. And I feel like the way they did it, football is just a game. Let's firstly put that into context. It's a game. You don't need to run on the pitch and start grabbing the flag and start throwing coins at people. Like, do you not have anything better in your life?
No, that's the highlight of your year.
No, but I think that's the point. And not to say that they necessarily don't have anything better in their life, but there are people there that go every week that pay a very high proportion of their money, their disposable income, to go and do that every week, and it's a massive part of their lives. And if you think that part of your life and that football club is being ruined, which you can arguably say it is by these people,
sure,
who don't know what they're doing, who are completely incompetent, then you have to protest that. I think they were totally within their rights to protest that.
But
I agree
point.
How they did it is mental.
These are the same fans that decimated Manchester United bus. Like you have to protest something in the right way.
Yeah, agree.
Aggravating an owner is not going to do anything for you.
Well, they should aggravate the owner, but just, I don't know.
Don't throw a coin.
Less violently. Write a strongly worded letter.
Let's run through some of these scores before we get to Mumu of the Week. Everton beat Brighton 2-0. Theo Walcott, kind of an on-goal goal, but he's playing well for them.
Mm-hmm.
Gylfi Sigurdsson is injured. Might miss the World Cup.
That sucks.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Rooney missed the penalty again.
He's missed three. Why is he still taking them?
he probably thinks because Messi still takes them for Barcelona that he has every right to still take them for Everton.
Fair enough.
Newcastle beat Southampton 3. This was crazy.
Wait. Sorry. I have to pull you back.
Yeah.
Pull you back.
Yeah.
Anthony Knockhart. Did you see this?
No.
Oh, yeah.
In Everton-Brighton. So, I think it's Leighton Baines has the ball on the left and he flicks it infield and it hits Knockhart square in the face.
And that annoys you. It
annoyed him. Yeah. He kept checking for blood. He was clearly a bit taken out of it by that. But it wasn't deliberate, right? He was just in the wrong place.
Right.
And then about 4 seconds later, Baines gets the ball, and Knockhart went in two-footed on him.
I mean, two-footed.
As if, it's for revenge.
Rey Mysterio style. He was in the air for 10 seconds.
And got immediately sent off. It looked like the ball hitting his face had knocked his brain out.
Right.
He just didn't know
what was going on. He probably didn't know what was going on.
Probably not. Yeah, it was very funny.
Newcastle beat Southampton 3-0. I mean, we see why Southampton are sacking managers. You can't lose 3-0 to
Kennedy
Newcastle.
Scores two against you, just end it.
Yeah.
So, on the Pellegrino sacking, just to go back to that for a second, James York tweeted this, and I thought this was quite interesting. So, Dyche, Howe, the promoted clubs, and the top six have kept their jobs in terms of the managers.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else, which is, 8 other teams,
mm-hmm.
have sacked their manager this season.
It's just a mess.
It's an absolute sham.
It's a mess, and half of those clubs are not doing any better.
Yeah,
they sacked their manager.
Totally
anyway.
True. It was a good win for Newcastle, though. They needed that.
Oh, yeah.
Huddersfield 0, Swansea 0. Jordan Ayew was sent off after 11 minutes, so Swansea battled through the rest of this game with 10 men.
Mm-hmm.
And Carvalhal called it an epic point, which I thought was quite funny. And then he said that Huddersfield played opera and Swansea had to listen to their music for a long time.
I like this man.
I love him.
I really hope he stays forever.
Me too. West Brom 1, Leicester 4, the Vardy goal. Mahanad, the Vardy goal.
He's the best scorer against top teams, so he does it then. But he's just consistent. When him and Mahrez are clicking, it's brilliant. And this is right after West Brom scored.
Mm-hmm.
So West Brom scored. They went ahead, Rondon, I think it was.
Yeah.
And then it was a great goal, by the way. It's a really good goal. Yeah. And then one Mahrez, beautiful, perfectly weighted long ball. And that is such a hard technique from Vardy.
It's an impossible technique.
On his weaker foot.
Yes, incredibly difficult. I mean, one of goals of the season for me this year.
It's coming over your shoulder on your weaker foot. And it wasn't as if he just whacked it. It was he knew exactly where he wanted to put it and basically caressed it in.
It was absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, no, he's a good player. He's actually a really good player. Mm-hmm.
And not losing any pace despite aging. Anyway, is Alan Pardew the worst managerial appointment ever in the Premier League?
No.
Again and again, though.
No, De Boer.
De Boer is, yeah. We've been over this.
Okay, but he hasn't won a game in
De Boer lost 7. We're playing 7, lost 7, scored 0 goals.
Okay, but Pardew has a bigger
set of data points.
Yeah, but he got a team to the Europa League.
You're
talking about this right here?
He's got one win, and it was in October.
Only thing I'll say about him is it the fact that he's so bad that the players got drunk in Spain, or are the players so bad that he can't do anything about them?
All I'll say is the sangria is delicious.
All right, let's move on to Move of the Week.
Appropriate.
Happy Momo. One thing we are no sha, Momo no fit sleep forever. One day, Momo go wake up.
Simone Zaza, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm talking about that penalty?
I wish. I've never seen anything like this. So Valencia against Betis. Great 2-0 win. Well done. But Zaza is chasing the ball down next to a player who's running alongside him. And he very clearly decides to try and get this guy sent off. And so he's leaning his head in, hoping to get an elbow in the face. And he headbutts this guy's arm.
On purpose.
And then clutches his face in a Rivaldo-esque against Turkey moment. And it is so embarrassing.
But remember the other guy that, from the throw-in, grabbed the guy's arm and pushed it into his own face?
Yeah,
that's up there.
But what?
He's bored. It's 2-0 up, probably. The game's almost
he
over.
He had to be. He knew there were cameras that were going to pick this. He knew it. But he said, you know what?
You think a lot of people that do a lot of things on a football field remember that there's billions of people watching. But no, sometimes you're just in your own little cocoon and you're like, this is just me and this guy.
I guess. I don't know. Anyway, if you haven't seen the video, look it up online. It's phenomenal.
And if you think that could not be topped. We go to Greece for one of the best Mumus of all time.
The Superliga.
This will make Hall of Fame.
Home of modern civilization, yes. Democracy, etc.
Yeah, yeah. So here is the headline. Greek Super League suspended after PAOK Salonika president invades pitch with gun. I could leave it at that.
Literally invades it, plants a flag in the center circle.
With gun.
Yeah.
But let's understand why this happened. So they were playing against AEK Athens, and they had a goal ruled out for offside. And this man thought, you know what? I've just seen West Ham fans do some shit. I'm going to go on another level and go on there with a gun and what? Pistol whip the ref or something?
I mean, like, that's the least he could do. I mean, if that's what was going to... I'll take that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, at this point, VAR needs to save this game.
Yeah.
I mean, he should have just driven alongside someone and given them a nudge.
Yeah.
Yes. Taking your gun on the field should never be an option. It's up there with spitting on someone. That's him. When you think you've seen it all in football, something always comes up.
Unbelievable.
Like, this is so bad that FIFA have threatened to suspend Greece from all football if they don't take action. That's how bad this is.
I mean, the problem is he's one of the richest guys in Greece. He probably has a lot of connections.
Former Russian spy, we might think, even.
This is not going to be easy for them to deal with. So.
Yeah.
All right. Good stuff.
Happy Momo. One thing we are no sha, Mumu no fit sleep forever. One day, Mumu go wake up.
Italy time?
Sure.
Prego.
All right. Fiorentina 1, Benevento 0. This is only included because of the Davide Astori tribute. 10,000 people attended that funeral.
Yeah, no, it was, a lot of games kind of being stopped in the 13th minute, a lot of minutes of silences, the Italian players, I mean, you saw pictures of Buffon in tears, and they were all at his funeral. It was pretty sad.
Yeah.
To be fair, when you started saying Fiorentina and Benevento and this game is only, I forgot about it, and I thought you were going to say because Roche loves Benevento.
That's also true.
He keeps up with it, like, I don't know why, like crazy.
The question is if Benevento, like, were ever going to win this game. Yeah. I mean, they're so bad that probably not, but...
It would have been impolite.
Yeah.
I mean, really, realistically. Yes. Anyway, Roma 3, Torino 0, good win. Cagliari 2, Lazio 2, dropped points, although the Ciro Immobile goal, oh my
God. Top score still, I think?
Probably.
By the way, the race for the European Golden Shoe, I don't know which one is actually the best player, shoe or boot, whatever.
Yeah.
It's Messi, Immobile, Kane, Salah, and Cavani, all tied on 24. It's pretty interesting.
Oh, wow.
Damn.
Interesting. Yeah.
Well, Kane's injured, so he might be out.
Yeah, that's done.
Genoa 0, Milan 1, Juve 2, Udinese 0, which is one half of the Juve about to win the title equation.
Mm-hmm.
Dybala is back.
I mean, he's back just at the right time for Juve. Killed it versus Tottenham in the Champions League. Has like 4 goals in his last 2 games or something like that. Killed it this game.
Mm-hmm.
He scored that last 90th minute winner before the Spurs game in the league. Where he like out-muscled 3 guys and put it. He's a really good player. He's a really good player.
I think the only thing that those of us who are clutching to the hope of a Napoli Serie A victory, the only thing we have left is the Juventus-Napoli game, which is coming up in a few weeks.
Ooh, interesting.
I think it's at the Juventus Stadium, though, but it's all we've got right now.
That's a must-win now for Napoli if they retain any hope of winning the title, because they went to Inter and they drew 0-0. And ordinarily, that would be a reasonable result, you know, away to Inter Milan. Except, Inter Milan have been on bad form. Napoli, barring the previous game against Roma, have been on great form. And it just looked like they gave up.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, it just looked like they ran out of ideas. There was no particular urgency in the last 20 minutes. It's 0-0. You've got to win to stay ahead in the race for the title. And they just didn't do anything. I mean, even Sarri, he brought on Milik with 4 minutes to go.
Mm-hmm.
Four minutes. You bring on your striker. And Mertens was completely ineffective up until that point. It was bizarre.
It's not all lost. I mean, they are only 1 point behind, even though Juve have a game in hand. But, like, it's still possible. Like Bernie said, Napoli win that game versus Juve. It's only 1 point.
But it's Juve.
Yeah,
I know. They're not going to relinquish this now.
Is Allegri just a genius?
He's like, a boss.
Is he literally just that good that he is the mafioso boss of this whole league.
He's brilliant, but if Juve go far in the Champions League, you never know. He'll have to rest a few guys here and there. If they win their next tie, it might be hard to balance.
Yeah.
But they have the squad to do it.
Sure.
Whereas no one else does, and that ultimately that's
right,
the point.
Right. There was something about this.
Sorry, just to add on Alex's point of the squad, to go back to Tottenham, the fact that they could bring on Asamoah and Lichtsteiner from the bench to turn that game just adds to your point.
Yeah,
the
but
squad
that's also,
is amazing.
It's also part of the Allegri bossness. He came on, changed the formation, and they won the game.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's move on to Spain because I can't remember my... Oh, the Italian Cup final is going to be Milan versus Juve.
Obviously.
And Dybala said if Milan win, he's going to shave his head. So Gattuso came out and said if... Juve won, he'll cut off his balls.
He said if Juve win the Champions League.
The Champions League. Yeah, oh, because Dybala said if Milan win the cup, and then Gattuso came back and upped it a little bit because he doesn't want to lose his balls. He didn't say cup, he said Champions League.
You know that Gattuso is crazy enough that he actually would cut his balls if that happened.
Before pod, Mohamed and I were watching Gattuso compilations.
In tears.
We were talking, yeah, actually in tears. We were talking about him as a manager, and then we're like, I kind of forget what he was like as a player, other
nuts.
Than like just, you know, a nutcase. And... there isn't a compilation on YouTube of him actually playing football.
We went through 15 minutes of various compilations. Not one of them showed him playing football. It's just yelling and screaming and tackling and fouling and red cards. Nothing about him playing football.
No, not a pass.
It's brilliant.
No, it's unbelievable.
I need a link. I need a link.
Oh, man. We were in tears. And then we read his Wikipedia page. And we read about how he was managing in Greece. Whatever the
they
team.
Like grab one of the reporters or the assistant by the neck,
yeah,
and like
assistant,
choke him out or something.
But he managed his team for a year or whatever. Then a year later, he got him out of promotion. He left citing.
Oh, this was Pisa.
Yeah, Pisa or
back
whatever,
in Italy. Yeah.
He cited unconditional, unacceptable,
constant
negative whatever at the club, and I have to leave, and I can't do this anymore. And then the next sentence is, and a month later, he came back as head coach.
What? Oh my days.
It was hilarious. We were literally in tears. I mean, we had to do something by the time he got here.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Also, turns out he met his wife in Toronto.
Oh, yeah. Rangers was playing a friendly.
Well, we gave him something.
Yeah.
Yep.
Some connection there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Spain.
Sure.
Where the big game was, I think, last week or something like that, or midweek, whatever it was. It was Barca Atleti kind of to try again, seal the title. Barca got away with a 1-0 win there, Messi free kick. Which really set them apart slightly from Atleti and kind of took away the hope slightly there from Griezmann's men. Griezmann's had a fantastic season. Some of his goals this season are, with his right foot too, have been just world class. And a lot of rumors going that Barca are going to trigger the 100 million clause and they're going to get him. Even recently, I think the Atleti president didn't really deny that Griezmann would be leaving. He came out saying, you know what? All I can ask is for him to defend the shirt as well as he can until...
Those rumors have not gone away
for
the last couple months. And
no.
That kind of makes you feel like it's true. I just wonder what happens to the other, you know, Dembele.
Suarez,
like,
even.
You know,
yeah.
Like, I think the idea is he'd play
Coutinho.
Off the left, right? Kind of where Neymar's position was.
I don't know.
I don't know if
don't
Suarez
know
keeps
you
his position.
So?
I don't know if Suarez... Suarez is getting better now, but he had the rough patch. And I think they're trying to plan post-Suarez.
Well, he's... On that left is where Griezmann really started to make his name. So
yeah,
I feel like
years
ago,
he's been playing down the middle.
Now, yeah.
That's
now,
true.
Yeah.
That's true.
I think if you buy Griezmann for 100 million, you play him down the middle with Messi. And
yeah, but is he better than Suarez right now? I'm not sure.
I think what's interesting is that it could be, if they can work it out with Suarez, it could be the first time that Barcelona really have, not a backup, but like some actual rotation where they don't look
right.
Worse.
Or they can
like they're not bringing Alcacer in.
Or
know?
They can play two up top. They can play Griezmann, Suarez with Messi in the head of the diamond, which
they,
is kind
they
of
have,
what he's doing.
They have actually played a 4-4-2 in recent times.
Yeah.
By the way, 4-4-2 between Madrid and Barcelona recently has made a comeback.
Massive comeback.
So they could effectively do that.
Yeah, well, it's made a comeback because you want Messi and Ronaldo up close to the goal and you're not sure how else to do it. So you go, oh, I guess I'm going to play up two up top. What else am I going to do?
Yeah, yeah.
Barca beat Malaga 2-0 without Messi. Looked
yep.
really good without Messi for the first time in a long time. Suarez good in that game
I
as
think
well.
Coutinho scored and I can't remember the other person, but Dembele had
I think it was
game.
Suarez. Valencia won. Real Madrid beat Eibar again. Ronaldo
just
pulling them out of, like, just dragging them out of some of these games. You see the little touch with his back?
It's his time of the year, man.
The touch with his back, take out the defender, and he raced through on goal. Like, I don't know, this man, he messed with everyone the first half of the season and said, you know what? I'm just playing, guys. Just joking. Here we go.
It's a shame because they could have been in contention for the league.
I know,
if he'd have
right?
Up.
Ballon d'Or ends in October, whatever it is. He takes a break till January. The voting starts again January 1st. Here we go, guys. Don't forget about me. He could, if Madrid win the Champions League, he'll win another Ballon d'Or.
Think of this statistically. All competitions, and Messi, in my opinion, has been the best player this year. All competitions, he has 34 goals. Messi has 33. Yeah. This is a guy who was rusty as hell.
Played 7 games less than Messi.
I just find that unbelievable.
Well, that's the thing. Ronaldo's all about the goals. He's all about the goals. Messi's starting to become a bit less than that. But you can't take anything away from Ronaldo. He's been, since January, been phenomenal.
And we didn't talk about it, but Real Madrid took out PSG and he's
very easily too. I mean, not even breaking a sweat.
That's another question about that whole team and all that money and
apparently, not even apparently, it's true. The PSG owners are in Brazil meeting Neymar, talking about his future
already.
Yeah,
and there are a lot of rumors that Neymar is contacting Barcelona saying I'll come back.
They wouldn't take him.
No, why would you? You just got 222 million. Like, stay away from me. Yeah, I'm getting Griezmann. I'm good.
At this point, for 100 million, I'd just take Griezmann back and I'd just make a point. Yeah.
So has it been a waste of money?
We don't know yet, but Neymar is a waste of character. As in, he's not the guy that you can throw 200 million and believe that he will be loyal and he will carry you and he will be the front runner of this team. He's not. The minute things go south, he's out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not who you spent 100 million on.
I agree with you, but I don't even think it's that. I'm not even sure it's about personality. You know what you're buying when you buy Neymar, but the problem is you buy a Neymar that's great, but you go into a Champions League quarterfinal or knockout round against Real Madrid with Thiago Motta and Berchiche and like half a team that isn't remotely up to the standard of your front three. You can't do that. You can't spend all your money on forwards and have a midfield that's sorely lacking. It doesn't make any sense.
I think the situation is that Neymar is a wonderful player. Like, what, top three, top five?
Yeah.
Whatever you want to say, doesn't matter. But realistically, he made no difference. As good as he is and in stats and whatever, they probably would have won a Liga anyway. And they probably would have gotten to this stage of Champions League anyway. So as great as it is, the difference is that all he really did was probably sell shirts.
Well, it's also unlucky though, because right now the Champions League opponents in the round of 16 are so much more difficult than they used to be, especially with the new pots, and you have really good teams in pot 2 and 3, etc.
But they were supposed to beat Real Madrid. They were supposed to beat them. They were supposed to beat Barcelona last year. They don't do what they're supposed to
do. I mean, that was a freak. That was incredible.
Yeah. Granted, but think about, like, if you look at that PSG squad and you don't buy Neymar, you take Mbappe, sure, that's fine, but then you spend 222 million or whatever it was on Oblak, Kanté, and one more.
Right.
You beat Real Madrid.
Then you beat Real Madrid.
Yeah, I'm with that. Yeah.
Or at least you send a much better chance.
But you still get take Neymar, though, because he's Neymar. Like, you know what I mean?
Brady just went, forget everything I said for 10 minutes. Still kidding.
I just kind of thought about it at Old Trafford, and I was like, yeah. You know, Woodward is all... If he's available, Woodward's like 300 million. How about it? Let's go.
Yeah, no, for sure. All right, so I guess we did speak about France a little bit. Wasn't on the agenda, but there you go.
Well,
we've got our quiz, our Under the Couch quiz night in 2 days.
We also
got
a bit of Germany in there with Batshuayi for 30 seconds.
True. We just cover everything. I mean, what more do you want?
Yeah, and the rest is covered by Conte.
Greece? I mean, who talks about the Superliga in Greece?
Not even the Greeks.
Well, it's suspended now. So.
Yeah.
Under the Kosh trivia night on Wednesday.
Mm.
And I don't expect everybody listening to this to be there, but to start with, let you know. Sold out. Yeah. Yeah, we're rolling in the dough, mate.
Opera Bob.
Killing it.
Don't tell them that.
I know.
It's not true. It's fine.
But yeah, no, brilliant stuff, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
Yeah.
Thank you for downloading the Koshcast. Get in touch at underthekoshblog@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at under_thekosh. And for articles, predictions, and the full experience, go to underthekoshblog.com.